1 John 4:15, it says, and now you'll know why we sang the song, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Today's topic is a little different. And it's, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Has anybody ever heard that saying before? Has anybody heard that song before? No? Okay. All right. But I hope that after this morning's message that you cannot get that saying out of your mind. I hope that it sticks with you all day long. I hope that it's in your mind every day this week. And I'd go as far as to bless you with, I hope it's in your mind every day this year. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I think it's really important that we understand this. I first heard a guy that actually misquoted this down at PBI. We used to go to this, they called it Pea Ridge, and they would do this 15-minute preaching. Each guy would do 1 guy would do an hour preaching, and then everybody would do a 15-minute preaching thing. Different students would and whatnot. And it was great. It was good practice and everything for everybody. But he said this, but he kind of left one of the parts out there. But that stuck with me. That wasn't even his sermon. That wasn't even part of his sermon. He just kind of brought it up. And I back then I even said, well, that would make a good sermon. That would make a good message. And it stuck with me all these years. And I kind of studied it, and I looked it up, and I studied it a little bit more. And it's actually a song that some black guys sing, the Williams Brothers. Okay, it's an actual whole song. And of course, it's all the stereotypical black, singing. I'm going to stereotype there because that's what it is. But it was actually very good. And I think it's a great message, okay? So I really enjoyed the song, and I enjoy the message behind it. And I enjoy it when anyone can really get excited about a message they're trying to relay about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. And it's whether it's in song or regular preaching or what. Shall we sing a song? No. Oh, Jen, I didn't mean to point it up that you just got here. No. We had no piano player. Yeah. So the first part, I'm just a nobody. Now, you probably all know that already about me, but I'm just a nobody. In today's world, everybody wants to think that they are someone. They want to think that they're better than the next guy. The news wants you to think, I am somebody. They all want you to think that. I'm not sure who it was that even kind of coined that phrase. I remember it. It was back when I was a kid, so it was probably 75 years ago. No. But I am somebody. Who was it? Was it Martin Luther King? Does anybody remember that? And he had the crowds all riled up, and, they were all yelling, I am. Then they would yell, somebody, I am somebody, I am somebody, on and on. And that's what the media wants you to see. That's what the media wants you to hear. But we are not somebody. We are especially not this somebody that I'm talking about here today in my message that I'm going to preach on. All these big-time preachers want to be seen as somebody, and they want their churches to be the biggest, the best, the most attended, the most money pouring in, and all that. And it doesn't always matter to them what's being preached or taught. I mean, Paul and I, we were talking about that at the breakfast club. He happened to catch a black preacher that was preaching, but it was like no substance, nothing there. All right? And I was listening to the other black preacher that was preaching all substance. It was good. You know, so, but some of them just go out there and they just don't want to preach anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about this. Why didn't Jesus preach for money? You never saw him begging. You never really hear him asking for money or offering, you know, oh, okay, we're going to stop the service here a minute and we're going to pass the basket around and take an offering. You don't hear about that. As a matter of fact, it says in Mark 12:33, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So all these high horse preachers that think they are somebody ought to really be heeding this verse here, paying attention to this verse. It says, to love the Lord Jesus is more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's an important point, okay? Jesus didn't care what, he didn't care where he preached. He didn't care where he preached. It didn't have to be in a big temple. It didn't have to even be in a house. All right, he preached on the streets. He preached in the fields. You know, the 5,000, you know, wouldn't have fit into a building back then, probably. But he'd preach it on the beach. You know, where he got so many people there, he'd have to back off into the water, into a boat, even sometimes. So he didn't need to show that he had all these followers like they do. Emily and I were talking too about pride and building confidence in kids. Self-esteem is what the schools are pushing so much nowadays. This is kind of my anti-self-esteem class here today, okay? So self-esteem is what the schools are pushing. And you probably, you know, if you were at our picnic a year ago or so, you know, you probably heard my message about, you know, my anti-pride message. But it's good to reinforce the concept. And besides, that was only a five-minute sermon, so it wouldn't take me that long to go over it all again. But pride is in the Bible 49 times. And all of them have a negative connotation, okay? I just heard a preacher last week. It was at that wedding. Oh, you weren't there. Yeah, we went to a wedding, and he was preaching, and he said how proud he was about something. Oh, you know, I'm just so proud about this. And it kind of actually made me cringe. I mean, I hear a preacher preaching that way. And then, I mean, I have read this about pride in the Bible, and I think, you know, well, yeah, maybe, what Bible are you reading? I don't know. But, you know, do you understand it? Has he actually read his Bible is the question that comes into my mind. Has he really read his Bible? Does he really read it and understand it? Has he studied the things that the Bible talks about in regard to pride? And I'd probably guess that he hasn't. That word proud, as opposed to pride, is in the Bible 57 times, and there's one or two times where I can't quite tell what it seems like it almost means something good, but it might also be God being a little facetious, okay? So I'm not quite sure about that. So proud and pride in the Bible are not considered a good thing. So like Emily and I were talking about, it's good for a person to help his child have confidence in themselves. You know, I guess I don't want this to be mixed up with, you know, oh, you should always just cut down your kid and shouldn't be pleased with them. And again, I guess that's the word that we come up with. You can be pleased with something and not have that pride and the proudness. You know, we should build up the confidence in the kids so that they understand that they can do something and they can do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, again, the answer to this is that you can be well pleased with something and refrain from being proudful. So, let's remember, and again, some of my past recent sermons have been, we're just clay. We're just dust and ashes and other unclean things, as the Bible talks about. And according to Genesis 18:27, it says, "And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." Okay? So that's saying, Abraham saying that he's just dust and ashes. Isaiah 64:8. Talks about how we are the clay. I read that, I think, just last week. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Isaiah 64:6 is about being an unclean thing and filthy rags, and that's not in a good context. But it says in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And in Mark 10:18 it says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Five times in the Bible it states, there is none that doeth good. There's five verses that say, none doeth good. And usually it says, no, not one. That was my other song that I would have sung. No, that's the wrong way. No, not one. I can't remember how that one goes. I think that's a different context. So I've talked about how people are just made of dirt. We see the verses that say we're just the clay. And we are referred to as sheep and other, sheep are pretty dumb. Paul's even trying to get rid of his sheep because they're so dumb. But, you know, we're referred to as sheep and sometimes other animals worse than that. So please, just believe me when I say I am a nobody. I'm a nobody. And again, I'm sorry to kill your self-esteem today, but I'm talking about you too. But I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody. So trying to tell everybody. If you're thinking at all today about other than what you're going to be doing later on today, you might be thinking, you know, Brother Glenn Bob, how can I tell everybody? How can I tell everybody? I think this other preacher would have said, I don't got no degrees, Brother Glenn Bob. And I would say, well, you know, last I've checked, I've got, I think it was 98.6 degrees. And I still ain't normal. I'm not normal. And yet, I can still try. I'm trying to tell everybody. You don't need a degree. I'm just a nobody. You maybe even went to the nobody school, all right? The school of hard knocks or whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't even have to go to any school, okay? And you can still tell everybody. You can tell people in your home. That's probably the best place to start. Sometimes they may not know about it. Sometimes you think your kids know about it. You know, again, most of you have heard my story. You know, when we moved here from the Reformed Church, we came out of the Reformed Church, and it wasn't until we were here that it was truly explained to us about how to be saved. And I had been saved at a young age. Kim had been saved. But we didn't know how to tell it to our kids. So, boy, oh boy, the importance of starting even with your own family. They all got saved through this church and through the discipleship of this church and the true understanding of the Bible in this church and have it explained to us. So you can tell your family is the first most important thing, then your extended family. You can go to do it on the streets, preach it on the streets. There's opportunity here to do that. You can tell people when you're on the telephone. You can tell people when you're in the checkout line at the Wilco or whatever it is. You can tell people door-to-door, as some have done. You know, you can tell them all different ways. Some of you guys know Dr. Ernie, what's his name? The dentist, Christy. James, Dr. Ernie James. You know, he goes over to my mom's church. They're an old guy. Well, one time our family was at the Wilco, and I was over here, and Kim was over there. Well, this old guy, and I didn't know him at the time. I have since met him and got to know him. But, boy, this old guy came up to me and just starts talking about the Lord, you know. And then Kim says, hey, did you see the old guy there? You know, he was witnessing to me. So, you know, you can tell him anywhere. Trying to tell everybody. It does not take a rocket scientist to read this book, to study it, and learn a little bit more about it, and to try to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't take that much to understand this book, God's Word. And you can do it, as I'm pointing out, you can do it on your own. You know, and I love to keep on studying and learning about all kinds of things. You know, always wanting to know about flowers from Mrs. Lawrence and all kinds of farming, my bucket farming and painting. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I talked to Mike about painting. You know, I like to learn new things. I like to learn new things. And you know, when you learn something new, you ought to be excited about it and want to tell others about it. You want to tell others about it, and we should be no different with God's Word. All right? When you learn something new in God's Word, you ought to be excited about it and be telling other people about it. Some people are afraid and won't tell anybody because they're afraid of being wrong about something. I don't mind being corrected. I want to be corrected. If I say something that's incorrect, I want somebody to point it out because I don't want to keep on saying something incorrectly. And again, it's worrisome when you do come up and when you're studying all week for a lesson, you know, I'm like, ooh, well, what if that's not quite right? I worry about that. And I don't want to be up here ever preaching something and have something that's not correct. And I do not mind if anybody ever comes up to me and says, hey, Brother Glenn Bob, that's not right. Or I don't think that's right. Or we better look into this. That's a good thing, okay? So some people, though, they don't want to because they don't want to be corrected. I say you go out and you preach it and you try to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and you let God put the words into your mouth. Some people are afraid and won't tell anybody because they think, well, I don't have anything. You know, nobody, I'm just a nobody. And in this case, believe it or not, that's your biggest asset, that you think you're a nobody. If you think you're a nobody, you're at the first right proper level. You know, I've heard of different police departments. When I was first trying to get on a police department, they said, well, we don't want somebody who's been on other police departments. We don't want to take him because then we'd have to retrain him our way because he's already trained their way and we may not like their way. And it's kind of the same concept here. You know, when you're a new Christian, when you're just, you know, when you are a nobody, God can take you and do something with it. So I'm proud to be a nobody. No, I'm pleased that I'm a nobody. Okay, so that's an asset. If we had the biggest church, that doesn't matter. If you have the best clothes, that doesn't matter. You know, and again, another guy at PBI, you know, oh man, he was always dressed to the nines. I don't know what that quite means either. But he's always dressed up. I mean, super good. You know, and he's like, yeah, walks in. Well, yes, but Brother Peterson, I'm dressing up for the King. You know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you know. But, you know, it was showy, flashy, you know, just, I don't know. I wasn't too impressed. But, you know, actually he ended up dropping out before he quit and all this other stuff, all the kinds of other problems. But you know what? Sometimes it's just show. So it doesn't matter if you have the best clothes on. That just doesn't matter. You can have all the worldly materials and still go to hell. It just doesn't matter. Jesus just does not care what you have material-wise, or if you happen to say something wrong and get corrected, he would rather have you speak up and be trying to tell everybody. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as it says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So I do not need a church building to preach the Word of God. I don't need to have August is Glenn Bobby is going to be up here preaching. I don't need that. I mean, yes, I appreciate it. I'm thankful to have this opportunity to get up here and preach. That's wonderful. I really do. But I don't need the church building. I don't need, you know, anything. You can still just preach the Word of God. You don't even need a preacher. You don't need to be a preacher, all right? You just don't need it. You can try to tell everybody about Christ. You just need to be trying to tell. So, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. About somebody. So, who is this somebody? I know who it isn't. It isn't me. It's not me. That's we can just go through here. Oh, nope, 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 nope. Now, you may witness, you may preach, you may do all this, but it's still not us who is that somebody. who can save anybody. You may be an instrument in God's work, but you're not that somebody. It also isn't this guy in Acts 5:36, where it says, "For before these days rose up," I think it's Theudas, T-H-E-U-D-A-S, Theudas, "boasting himself to be somebody." I like that. Boasting himself to be somebody. He's probably up there, "I am." And they would all say, "Somebody." No, you know, what was it? It was probably no new thing under the sun, right? So boasting himself to be somebody, "to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught." Brought to naught, brought to nothing. So as I said earlier, this is that somebody who can save anybody. And that is only one possible person. That is the one true Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And it says in John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now that's somebody, okay? That's somebody. Anybody that can make that statement and have it be true is really somebody. Jesus is stating here that he is the way. He is the way, which is saying he is the only way, all right? Not one of the ways. He didn't say, "Well, I'm one of the ways you can get to heaven." He didn't say, "Well, part of the way. Well, you got to follow this path to get part of the way to heaven." He didn't say that. He said, "I am the way." So this is that somebody that is holy. Revelation 4:8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Who remembers that guy who did this service about that? What? Sam Gipp. Oh, he did it good. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, he belted it out. But you know what? And then he did a whole sermon on just that. That was great. And he did it here, I think. Right? He had that service here? Oh, Bourbonnais. Maybe that was it. All right, so the rest of you are forgiven for not hearing that one. All right. But yeah, it was great. It was good. But this is a holy God. But I think one of the best Bible passages that explains who this somebody really is in John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." That all men through him might believe. "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh." That's this somebody. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Boy, that really kind of sums up this whole thing. That was the Word became flesh. That's John passage is another whole sermon. But that tells us that this is Jesus Christ. And this also explains the Trinity so well, that God and the Father are one. There's all kinds of good stuff in this, but it really just hits home with what I'm trying to get at here. He is that someone. The Lord Jesus Christ is that someone who was made flesh and preached unto his own how to get saved. But as many as received him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So this is that somebody that made the heavens and the earth and all creation, including us. So yes, I guess he could save us too, okay? If he made you, I'm sure he could save you. So my fourth point is, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Many people don't believe in God. Many people don't want to believe in hell. People did not want that sign to go down on I-65 down there that says Jesus is real, hell is real. They didn't want that. That scares a lot of people. People lied about things. I went to the meeting. I know some other people, Ron and Christy, I think you were at that meeting where they were up there protesting or for or against the sign on I-65. And some guy gets up there and says, well, you know, when people sit on their back porch, they're going to have to look at that sign all the time. And I drive by there. Actually, I just drove by there again the other day, and I'm thinking, what a liar. You know, you could not sit on a back porch and see that sign. You know, but oh no, they don't want it, you know, because it's disturbing me. You know, that's stupid. But they don't want it. That scares people. They are afraid of this somebody that can save anybody. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Oh, hey, that's the song we sing. Whosoever will. Okay? That phrase in the Greek and in the Hebrew and in the ancient Pig Latin means anybody. I studied the first two. I did not really study the third one that much. I studied Greek and Hebrew, but I'm not sure about that Pig Latin stuff. But anyway, that whosoever will, that means anybody. Anybody. That means that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can save anybody. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus wants everybody to go to heaven. He doesn't want people. Jesus does not want people to go to hell. Jesus is real. Hell is real. But he doesn't want people to go to hell. He wants people to go to heaven. As it's said in the Bible in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, I'll tell you the truth, I thought he prepared it for the guy down the street from me. No, he did not prepare hell for the guy down the street from you or me. He didn't prepare it for any of us. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. So don't you be an angel of the devil. Anybody means anybody. Jesus Christ can save anybody. I have heard of people getting saved in a bar. One guy said that God took the beer bottle out of his one hand and put a Bible in his other hand. Actually, I think he was in the restroom at the time at the bar. You know, but God reached him there. Dr. Ruckman kind of relates a story too. If I'm remembering it correctly, I think he stole a Bible in a drunken stupor and had it and finally started reading it and whew, threw it across the room, and that's trash. And he'd go back over and pick it up and start reading something else. And I think he was a bit older at the time because he'd already been through the service and all kinds of other things. But you know what? That word that became flesh, who is somebody, got a hold of him. And I guess he's done a little bit of work for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter who you are, and it does not matter where you are. Jesus Christ can work on your heart and save you. Anybody that thinks, well, I've been too bad, you know, I've crossed the line, God's not going to take me. God just won't take that. He's not going to save me. You're sorely mistaken. This is that somebody that not only can save anybody, but he won't lose you after he has saved you. We probably all know parents, and even in this room here, that maybe lost their children for a while. I'm sure it's happened to a few of us. It's probably happened to quite a few more of us than you realize, all right? I know it happened to Betsy Borsma. We forgot her one time up in Wisconsin. We drove about 45 minutes away, and she was just a little kid, and she's home. She knows she's all alone now, and she was kind of scared. It's way up on the farm in the middle of nowhere, and she was praying. And boy, oh boy, we were in a caravan. Of course, you know, that's when you get people lost in caravans. But that's when Jesus got lost too, come to think of it. But all of a sudden, Lori, stop the car. Who's got Betsy? You know, that prayer was answered. That little child's prayer was answered. You know, and of course, yeah, we forgot Jacob a time or two. I think we forgot Tess. You know, the list goes on. You know, we do forget kids sometimes. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't let you get lost again. It says in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The Lord Jesus Christ won't get you lost, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ can save anybody. So if Jesus Christ can save anybody, then I need to keep this foremost in my mind, that I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I would just pray that this saying sticks in your mind. And I'd be praying that you would put it foremost in your mind as we go out just this week and try to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for being that somebody that can save anybody. I truly thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for saving me from the miry clay, Lord. It is. It's an awful world out here, but thank you for just being that person that is able and capable of saving us and keeping us, Lord, and keeping us safe. And I just pray now, Lord, that you'd be with us all throughout the week, and just help us, Lord, to tell others about you, trying to tell everybody about you, Lord. And we just thank you again for this opportunity. And just please be with us all now throughout the rest of the day. Help us to do something for you. In Jesus' name, amen.